This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. It's Wednesday. Let's get right into it. We've got a lot coming up on the show today, and we will get to that as we continue through. But for our first hour, it's Middays with Mark, Congressman Mark Pocan, our old friend. He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives. His website, Pocan, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep, as in Representative, Rep Mark Pocan. Congressman, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
So all kinds of craziness now on Capitol Hill. We've got this new Kushner book coming out. In fact, Vicki Ward is going to be with us in the third hour of our program today, laying out the whole Kushner Inc. thing, which is totally weird. The Kushner Inc. thing is, not the book. We've got the Mueller report about to come out. And Trump looks like he's having a Twitter meltdown. And some people are wondering if that's connected to the imminence or the possible imminence of the Mueller report. I'm wondering if, you know, what you think of all that stuff and if there's anything else on your radar today.
Sure, Tom. Well, first of all, I mean, the Senate and the House aren't in this week, so there is a little less activity in that sense happening, but plenty of other activity. And clearly in the last few days, watching the Republicans really get ready for what they think is the Mueller report coming out. I'm not exactly in that camp. I think we've been saying this for a few weeks. It's imminent, and I'm not really sure if it is, just based on some other previous reports, how long it's taken to put them together. But Republicans certainly are getting ready for what could be a report, and you're watching all kinds of rhetoric out there, and you're watching the president. This weekend, he averaged a tweet an hour this weekend. Even for him, that is excessive, and over all sorts of subjects, except, of course, the subjects he probably should have talked about, like the terror and hatred that occurred in New Zealand. But I do think you're seeing a ramping up of people getting ready in case it comes out. But Donald Trump clearly is reacting to something, whether it's the timing or it's information that he's found out that they have now. It's been a rough, tough couple days for the president.
Just a broadly political question, if I may. If this report comes out, doesn't specifically indict the president, but already, for example, we know from the indictment of Michael Cohen that according to the prosecutors, according to Cohen's testimony, and according to the court ruling, Cohen was directed to commit the crimes for which he's going to prison by Donald Trump himself, and that Trump, you know, directed this illegal payoff to these two women. If the report comes out with that kind of thing, where, you know, that hasn't been enough to get him impeached, of course, it would have easily been enough to get Obama impeached. But, you know, how do you think your colleagues in Congress are going to handle this? Or even if it calls for an indictment when he leaves office, or even an indictment within office, you know, how do you think that?
I think the things to watch for is Donald Trump and the Republicans will try to point to collusion, 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 even though collusion itself, in and of itself, may not be what comes out of the report. In fact, likely not. In the definition, Donald Trump has set it up to be, and Republicans will jump on that. But I think there will be plenty of other things that come out that show Trump and Trump associates clearly violated the law and did things that would be impeachable, or that would be law enforcement worthy regardless. And I think between what the Democrats are doing right now by getting lots and lots of information on things that go beyond what the Mueller investigation is looking at and the Mueller report itself, we have to be very careful. They're going to try to get us lost on one single word, collusion, and we need to know that there's going to be, I think, quite a few interesting things in there that we would never accept from any president, much less this president, and the amount of information I think that's going to come out. So I think we're going to have to be very careful on it'll be a semantical fight the minute it gets released.
Yeah, amen. And apparently, the news I'm seeing this morning is that they've literally had conversations in the White House about how whatever the report says, and if it doesn't contain an indictment, they're all going to claim great victory.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
There we go. It is Middays with Mark, Congressman Mark Pocan, taking your calls for the hour, number 202-808-9925. And Russ in Hickory Hills, Illinois, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Pocan, and Tom, for taking my call. Yeah, I hear now that the president's hitting and he needs about a big tax cut, because this one like Tom predicted, is starting to wear off and the economy's going in the toilet. Where's it going to go? To the 1% middle class? Have you guys been told where this next big tax cut's coming and going to? Because the economy's starting to really tank.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, it'll be a completely fake one, right? Because last time, that's the only thing the Republicans did for 2 years was provide a tax cut where, you know, over 80% of the money is going to the top 1% in 10 years. And, you know, they know now they're in trouble because people started to not get the refunds they were supposed to. People started realizing it with their tax return they've been lied to. And then we've got all kinds of other groups showing us problems that occurred by that tax bill because it didn't have the proper review necessary. If he puts anything out, it's going to be for show, for election. And he knows that there's a Democratic majority in the House and a Republican majority in the Senate. So it is unlikely any tax proposal that Donald Trump's puts out would be accepted, because we still have to clean up the last mess that they did, where they lowered the corporate rate as much as they did and lowered the rate for the richest in this country. So I think he may try some rhetoric on this, but this isn't very real if Donald Trump puts something forward.
Mary in Las Vegas, Nevada, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call. I hope I'm posing my question concisely. If Trump wins another term, and he gets indicted by the Southern District in New York, or even if before we indict him now, will that stay the tolling of the statute of limitations? Because I feel like that's what's happening here, like he's going to try to stretch things out and win so that he's not held accountable after he gets out of office.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much the statute of limitations or just him. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of rumor that people are saying he wants to get reelected so that they can't arrest him, because there is a question, and this is right out of what could happen in the Mueller report. Even if they show things that are indictable, because he's sitting as a president, the Attorney General's office has said that they consider it, you can't indict the president. So in that sense, that alone may be a reason why we have to react to the report in a way that is different than a direct indictment, because there may be that direction from the Attorney General's office saying you can't indict a sitting president. So I think there's a lot of hypothesis that he is running just to continue to stay out of getting arrested. I think the New York case, as you mentioned, is far more relevant for him. They can go after him at any time. And I don't think he'll just get away with anything if he gets reelected. I do think, though, that you know, it could potentially, as long as he keeps appointing the Attorney General, give him some avoidance of any time that they would look at anything.
Brad in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hi, Mark. This is Brad. And my question is, I understand you're part of the Progressive Caucus. And part of my question involves the political calculus between, if the Mueller report really is bad for the president, letting him sit in office versus impeaching him and trying to get Republicans over in the Senate over to your side. And because the idea is Pence maybe, and I'm not sure how much Pence is going to be caught up in what Mueller is doing, but the idea that Pence might be more effective as a legislator, whereas Trump is on Twitter and feeding his ego, Pence is more of a political technician, if you want to call it that, and I'll take my answer off air.
Sure. I guess, Brad, the way I look at it is this is an issue, a constitutional issue. And if someone's done something wrong and we need to have to go after that person, we need to do that, regardless of even if the next person in line is worse. But we have to adhere to the Constitution. If someone's violated the law, we have to go after that, and then we'll still politically go after the next in line. So I think that's the best response I would give you on that.
It's 15 minutes past the hour. It's Middays with Mark here on the Tom Harbin Program. Congressman Mark Pocan is taking your calls for the hour. 202-808-9925. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan in just a moment. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, talk media for the sane among us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Congressman Pocan is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. His website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. He represents Wisconsin. And welcome back. Victoria, listening on KPFK in Upland, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, this is Victoria, and I just had a quick question. If we think the game plan for the president is to be reelected to avoid being indicted or arrested after his first term, is there anything we can do at the state level to introduce bills or pass laws where we can't have anybody with an indictment against them to be on the ballot for president?
Victoria, I don't know. I don't know if that would pass also constitutional muster, whether or not you could do that. But, I don't think he's running for re-election just to avoid. I mean, some people have put that hypothesis out there. I think this guy is such a narcissist. He is running because he's going to continue to try to figure out how to enrich himself and his family by being president, and that's why his ego it wants to be reelected. And this is also something that would come along with it. But I don't think this is the sole reason. So I think we, you know, focusing on that may be a little bit off the main focus. What we should be looking at is don't get lost on the word collusion, because he clearly keeps using that for a reason, and realizing that they may not indict a president, even though there's indictable offenses, because of how the Attorney General's office has decided to operate, which is going to put more pressure on members of Congress to act and more, quite honestly, focus on what's happening in New York State.
Paul in Lucerne, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, Congressman. I'd like to thank you for doing a great job. You're awesome.
Oh, thank you.
A suggestion. All these Republicans are talking about Medicare for all is going to Medicare for all is going to cost us a lot of money. They're talking about how Green New Deal is going to cost a lot of money. Well, why don't we start throwing that back at their face? And then what I mean by that is, if the Republicans care so much about jobs, how come they left in the provision in the tax code that the American taxpayers pay to offshore jobs?
Right.
How much is that costing the American taxpayer? How much is the American taxpayer paying to take our jobs overseas? That's a good question. I'd like an answer to it. And I think every time a pundit or anybody asks you that, you say, well, it costs that. But you know how much we pay to get rid of our jobs? And you throw that back at them.
So, Paul, let's hear what Congressman Pocan has to say.
Yeah, Paul. So, I mean, I also think, you know, what people forget is, when you provide a tax break, especially for only a small number of people in the country, that's a tax expenditure. That money is happening in lieu of spending it on something else that might benefit a much greater number of people. So that alone you could focus on, right? Just that tax cut bill they had. I would argue, though, that when you get to Medicare for All, I think we really need to look at the costs and we need to do a much better job, because I think the numbers they're putting out there are completely outrageous. You're going to have so many other savings when you take out the administrative costs, the marketing costs, some of the other costs that are out there that are in healthcare that are wasted. You're really going to have other savings. And when employers can reinvest that money that currently is going towards healthcare to their business and hiring more employees, that's going to spur the economy. So there's a lot of things we have to look at and be able to describe. But just to the very point you had, I think, you know, it's fair to especially point out tax expenditures are an expenditure, and that is a decision the Republicans made. Instead of putting money towards healthcare or investing in our infrastructure, they put it to the top 1% through tax breaks.
Yeah. And would love to do it again if they had the chance.
They sure would.
We are talking with Congressman Mark Pocan. He's taking your calls for the hour. Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman program. His website is pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin. We'll be back in about 15, 20 seconds with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan. Welcome back to Middays with Mark. Tom Hartman here with you. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. And Richard in Smithton, Illinois, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm pretty disturbed with this guy in the White House, a draft dodger. I'm a Vietnam vet. And I really hate the way he's cutting down John McCain and his family. I wonder if you can bring up something on the floor of the U.S. House. I know Johnny Isaac is supposed to be doing that in the Senate. Can you do something like that on the floor?
Yeah, Richard, I think there's going to be a lot when we get back next week on this. I mean, it was truly disgusting to watch this president attack someone who, regardless if I agree with his politics or not, he was someone who is an American hero, who went through incredible sacrifice when he was in the military, who served the country for a long time in the U.S. Senate. And for the president to be so petty and pathetic as he has been, is going to absolutely have outrage. I saw Chuck Schumer is actually going to, they talked about introducing a bill to rename the Russell Senate office building after John McCain. That certainly will be interesting as well. But it is just one more sign of this president and the arrogance and the everything that we have to deal with this president when he attacks someone like John McCain, who, you know, again, I may not agree with ideologically, but I know on many fronts he's been a hero, and the last thing you do is do that, especially after someone's passed away. That's just tacky in only the way someone whose last name is Trump can be tacky.
Stuart in Southern California, listening on KPFK. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Okay, yeah, I didn't hear my name. I hear a lot of people complaining about Trump and talking about getting out the vote. What I don't understand is I don't see him as being the problem because he lost the vote by 3.9 million, yet he's in the White House. To me, that is the problem. But I don't hear anyone talking about that. If you could please enlighten me as to what I'm missing here.
Sure, Stuart. I think actually, I mean, it's being talked about incredibly in the sense that the very first bill we passed in Congress, H.R. 1, was a bill that had election reform, campaign finance reform, and ethics reform. So we're recognizing that there are many things when it comes to voting that made it more difficult for people, some areas to be able to vote, that clearly Electoral College is an issue, and I know Elizabeth Warren raised that this week. But that's kind of exactly what we are talking about. But I do disagree. This also is Donald Trump is the problem. If we had elected someone else who wasn't reacting like a buffoon so often, we wouldn't have to have these really hard debates about how sad it is that the President of the United States won't stand up to neo-Nazis and racists, and that, you know, he really appeals to the worst in everyone as his political base. That deserves a lot of discussion because that's not what this country is about. And we need to make sure the world understands that's not what this country's about.
Do you see a move to do away with the Electoral College in the House?
I don't see it widespread enough where you'd have to, to actually get it done. It would take constitutional amendment and a lot of Republican support. But I do think it's definitely worthy of debate. I mean, the fact that two recent elections, the person who won the most votes didn't get elected, that's a clear problem. And I absolutely think we should be addressing this.
Yeah. Carl in McChesney Park, Illinois. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, Mr. Pocan. I got some good news for you. I finally got a cost of living adjustment on my Social Security this year, first time in 4 years.
Glad you did, Carl. It was long overdue.
Yeah, Paul Ryan must not be Speaker of the House anymore, I take it.
Well, I think a lot of things came to play, but it's you know, we really should have a different index period, in my opinion, for Social Security. What most seniors are spending their money on is not what the normal CPI is attached to, especially things like gasoline. Many seniors don't drive, but about 25% of what seniors spend their money on is around health care and medications, and that's not represented at that level in the CPI. So we should have a different index called the CPI-E that takes into consideration what seniors actually spend their money on, and that should be what gets attached to your increase, and then you would have gotten an increase every one of those last 4 years.
And we actually already have that index. We just haven't applied it to Social Security, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it would just make so much sense. I mean, you know, my mom just turned 90 in the last month, and, you know, she hasn't been driving for about 5 years. So gasoline, you know, isn't going to affect anything. It affects her cost of living. But, you know, she just got a new medication for a new arthritis problem. And that's where a lot of her money is going, and that's for every senior, and that's what we should be recognizing when we provide any bumps to Social Security.
Congressman, we just have 30 seconds to a hard break here. Do you see any change? Do you see, I mean, you know, Donald Trump arguably got elected, to the extent that he did, on a promise that he would, unlike other Republicans, he would not cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. And here his budget has massive, multi-billion dollar cuts to all three programs. Do you see any pushback from the Republicans in Congress against that?
No, in fact, I hope we can find a way to make sure we put that budget on the floor of Congress and get a vote. And let's see where people stand. Are they standing with Donald Trump's cuts to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, or are they going to stand with the American people? We may have some difficulties for other reasons to do that, But this is exactly what Donald Trump represents. Are people with Donald Trump on this or not? They should have to respond.
Yeah. Oh, I missed my time cue. I was off by a minute. Omar in Herndon, Virginia. We have 1 minute. Quick question for Congressman Pocan. Omar? No, Omar. Okay, I'm not going to give somebody else 40 seconds. It's not quite fair. How do Republicans deal with this? You know, how do they go back to their home districts and hold a town hall when everybody, you know, when they're actively, and they have been since the 30s, campaigning against Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid? I don't get it.
Well, and my guess is, Tom, a lot of them aren't doing town halls right now, and that's something that people should be pressuring their elected officials. I don't care what level of government, what political party, you have to have town halls. Next week we do a Facebook Live one. In April we'll do them across my district. But a lot of Republicans aren't doing them right now.
That's great. When you do your Facebook Live ones, are you inviting people outside your district?
We do, and I think we're doing it either Monday or Tuesday night. I'm sorry, I don't know right now. I'll look it up over the break.
That's great. Well, be sure to tweet it to me, and I'll retweet it, and you know, we'll let people know about it.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Cool. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Congressman Pocan is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin. Pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. Back with more calls for him in just a moment. Welcome back to Middays with Mark. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin and the U.S. House of Representatives. His website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. JT in Austin, Texas, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So my question is, why are Democrats spending time debating the term socialism? For which we know in this country we have socialism for the rich, when Democrats' policies, economic policies, tend to be supported by the vast majority of Americans. Why aren't we saying, like, we want a big tent or a strong safety net instead of getting hung up over the term socialism as the Republicans want us to?
Yeah, JT, I guess my attitude is what you said is you're right. The Republicans want us to talk about socialism rather than everything they're doing. And whenever we jump onto whatever they want us to talk to, usually we're losing. And I don't know if that's an especially useful conversation. Unfortunately, a lot of media these days wants to have this conversation. I personally, you know, if someone wants to say they're a socialist, they can say they're a socialist. But for us to jump on that word when no one else is using it, I mean, it's not the mainstream word by House Democrats as they're introducing bills, it does a disservice to the very things we're introducing, because what we're not talking about then is the most sweeping bill to address corruption in Washington being H.R. 1. And we're not talking about the gun violence prevention measures that we passed out of the House of Representatives in, I think, the first month that we were in office, or month and a half. We're not talking about the bills that we're going to do for pay equity or for raising the minimum wage, and we're not going to talk about going after pharmaceutical drug prices. Those are the things that people actually care about. They talk about at their kitchen table, not about isms or whatever label people want to put on. And jumping to the Republicans' talking points, I think, my opinion only, is a disservice to the very things that we are actually doing, which are far more substantive and really show a stark contrast between Democrats and Republicans.
Agreed. And by the way, Congressman, I published a piece this morning in an alternate. It's over at Raw Story. It's on Common Dreams. It's on Truth Dig. And it's on NakedCapitalism.com about that very topic. I just sent a copy of it to you and Congressman Ro Khanna. So, I would love to get your feedback on that. Bob in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, you are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Yes. Congressman and Tom, how are y'all today?
Good, Bob.
Good. I wonder if the Democratic Party and yourself would be supportive of Jay Inslee as a candidate for presidency, because he's got a lot together, having worked on the Apollo project all those years and such, and actual governance. What do you think?
Yeah, Bob, I'll tell you, I'm watching with great interest all the candidates, right? I think we're up to maybe 15 now, and there's still more coming in, or maybe we're at 14, and I'm starting to count Biden and Michael Bennett and some of the other folks that we think are going to get in the race as well. You know, I think it's going to be interesting. Each one is they carve out their lanes. I mean, Jay Inslee is kind of carving out, trying to carve out anyway. Climate change is his major issue, and you know, as a governor, that always gives a candidate other credentials they can point to. You know, just in the last week, watching Elizabeth Warren roll out the Electoral College, putting out a new ideas. Bernie's done that for years and years, put out a lot of new ideas. Beto O'Rourke kind of running in a very different approach, not so much on individual issues, but as a bigger themes and aspirations. I'm enjoying watching all the candidates, and I just, you know, my job, I think, as a progressive is to make sure they all, when they get to policy issues, they're talking about progressive policy issues that benefit the most amount of people. So any individual candidate at this point, I'm kind of staying out of my conversations about it, other than I'd like to work with each and every one of them to have as progressive a policy platform as possible, and we absolutely have to beat Donald Trump.
Tom in Stanford, Kentucky, excuse me, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Congressman and Tom, I want to talk about who is the Democratic Party and how do we reach out to the Republicans. And I pose that if we can put in writing, because not all of us Democrats are public speakers like you guys, hard, accurate data, like how many people, what percent of the people earn less than $15 an hour? What percent of the people earn minimum wage? What percent, you know, the demographics of the United States in writing? How much taxes are being paid? Hard numbers, and if that could actually be put, like, on a website for the Democratic Party, hard, accurate talking points to counteract the Republicans' lies.
Sure, Tom, I hear you. Let me say, first of all, I think you have to combine that with overarching values as well, because where you really appeal to people is not going to necessarily be through a number, but it's got to be on that larger value connection. And I think then those numbers add to the reinforcement. So I think we still need to approach on a bigger, higher level first to really get to people's hearts and minds. But you're right. I mean, just I'll give you one good example on minimum wage, because we're going to have that bill coming up very soon. I always ask people, guess what percent of people who make the minimum wage are high school students living at home, right, like under 20 years old. And I've had people guessing 70%, 50% at various schools I talk to. The reality is it's about 9%. They have median ages in the upper 30s, mid to upper 30s. Most people, it's their single wage that's their biggest wage they're bringing in. So there's a lot of myths on issues like that, and I agree that's a great way to do it. But I think the bigger value is, you know, how could anyone who's working 40 hours a week be living in poverty? In Madison, Wisconsin, you'd have to work 91 hours on minimum wage a week in order to afford a median two-room apartment. So if we go to a higher value, those numbers are strong support, but I think you attach really with people at the value level.
John in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, Congressman, rather see National Airport named for John McCain. Much more fitting for his statue and his being a naval aviator and a public servant. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, John, I love that idea. It's a great idea. I don't know if you'll find Republicans yet, although it does seem like Donald Trump seems to throw Ronald Reagan under the bus on a regular basis with his policies, but I don't know if you'll see them willing to change it. I think, you know, the Senate office building is probably a little easier for senators to do, but it's a great suggestion, and John, Kenosha's my hometown, so shout out to you.
Yeah, especially as I recall, Richard Russell was a segregationist, so it might be a little easier to replace him with John McCain. Mary in Louisville, Colorado, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you so much. Hello, Congressman. Nice to talk to you. I wanted to compliment you. Thank you. I saw the live stream living room conversation you did at the History Museum mm-hmm. in Appleton yesterday with Mike
yeah.
Gallagher.
Mm-hmm.
That was wonderful. And my question for you is, I love the cross-partisan civil conversation. And to quote you from yesterday, I know it may not sell detergent on cable news, but how do we get more living room conversations, civil conversations, between people like yourself and Congressman Gallagher, how do we make more of those happen so that we can see people can work together rather than just tuning in to see the fight on cable networks?
Yeah, I mean, I think people around the country should do things like that, invite people from different political perspectives to come together and to talk and answer questions, because one of the things that does take rhetoric down a drop. But I would argue, as a progressive, I know that the people agree with the values more than on most issues than where the Republicans are at, whether it be on health care, on the climate change, on taxation. And if I have an opportunity, the best way I'm going to change someone's mind is by being able to get out there and have that conversation and show where the people are and where the support is. So I think those are real important conversations to have. We did this, Tom, up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and it's just, you know, you're not going to pass things always just your way. It's rare you have Democrats in charge of all levels of government or Republicans. So we're going to have to appeal to people on why your ideas are best. And
so you sat and had a long when she said Mike Gallagher, I thought of the right-wing talk show host, and I thought, whoa,
no way. No, this is a member of Congress from northeastern Wisconsin.
And he's a Republican.
Yeah. And he, to his credit, he voted one of the 13 in the House of Representatives against the president's national emergency declaration because he said, you know, it was an abuse of we've given too much power to the White House already. And so, I mean, but it takes having individual conversations if you're going to ever bring Republicans over. And if you're ever going to get to a point that we need to impeach this president, you're only going to do it with some Republican support. All the more, you're going to have to develop those kind of conversations.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it's also, you know, to that, it's one of the reasons why I often invite conservatives on this program to either try to talk with me or to pay me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it turns into a little more of a brawl than you would expect. Congressman Mark Pocan is taking your calls for the hour on Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. Every Wednesday, Congressman Pocan drops by. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
You can check out his website at Pocan.House.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And we'll be right back. And welcome back. Paul in Glenside, Pennsylvania, watching us on Free Speech TV via Roku. Hey, Paul, what's up? You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Congressman. I'd like to address the potential for impeachment of President Trump. And I just to preface it, I'd like to say that there has to be an absolute legal basis. I don't want to say that it should be based on speculation or we're pretty sure he did something wrong, but, you know, once reports are prepared from the Judiciary Committee, from Congress, from the Department of Justice, where there's evidence gathered, laws are broken. At that point, what I would like to advocate for is the absolute need to prosecute the president for crimes, even if they aren't the highest crimes of treason, because everyone in this country for the past 10, 15 years has watched the extremely powerful and wealthy get away with murder from the financial collapse of Wall Street, along with, you know, many other things that we see happening in this country as our infrastructure falls apart, bridges collapsing, you know, lead poisoning in water, and so on and so forth. People are not being prosecuted for criminal acts. And what's happening is people are abandoning the entire concept that anything good can come out of not just Washington, but even in state capitals. If you and people like you that are getting elected to Congress in the wave of progressive candidates don't go after the president, once there's clearly established evidence and clearly established laws broken, a lot more is going to be going on.
Paul, let's let Congressman Pocan respond to your question, if there was a question in there.
Yeah, sure. I think, Paul, I think I do agree that what you said when you said clearly established evidence and information, and that's part of what we're doing right now by doing the proper oversight that Paul Ryan completely gave up the last 2 years that he should have done as a political branch of government. We're finally doing that. So between the Mueller report and what we're doing, if we collect information that shows the president did something wrong, absolutely we need to go after him. But we first have to collect the information, and that's what we're doing right now. So I think it's important to really emphasize that because some people want us to get a few steps ahead from where we're able to pass anything right now. And we need to make sure we're gathering the information, asking the right questions, and letting the American people know what the situation is. And then if something is done wrong, we absolutely should follow up.
Barbara in Fairfax, California. 1 minute to the break, Barbara. A quick question for Congressman Pocan. Thanks for watching us on Facebook Live.
Thank you. As a daughter of a federal criminal under Ronald Reagan, my father took a stand in the 1981 union strike, taking a stand for political honesty. I do think it's time for Democrats to come more clean with their past history in order to see who and what we've been for the last 40 years. As a substitute teacher here in Fairfax, I don't even make enough money to pay rent. I've had to rent out my own room to a single mother and her two kids. I sleep on a sofa. I go to a food bank. Marin County, which is one of, they say, progressive communities, high level standard of living. And I can barely even make a living, yet I'm trying to do what's right, and that's by getting involved in our educational system, which is a disaster. What are the Democrats doing and others doing about this? Because this is an economic issue that my father and his union members stood up for and lost everything and went for broke to do in 1981.
Oh, my goodness. Barbara, Congressman, if we could answer this on the other side of the break,
sure.
And I'll just essentially restate Barbara's question because it's a good one, and I know you don't want to answer it in 5 seconds.
No
Barbara,
problem.
Thank you for that call. We'll be back. It's 48 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour on Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. Taking back the mainstream media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Middays with Mark here with Congressman Mark Pocan. Congressman Barbara just was asking the question. She's a teacher in Marin County and yet is making so little that she has to rent out her own bedroom to somebody else and she sleeps on the couch. What is Congress, what are Democrats in Congress doing to address this crisis of basically, fully employed, what used to be middle class people who are now basically at the very, very bottom of the middle class or the very top of the working poor, reestablishing our middle class for at least professional workers.
Well, and I think a big part of what the Democrats ran on had a lens on income inequality, and it covers a lot of different things. One of the things we're going to take up in the next couple months, or two things, I should say, paycheck equity. Right now, women are still making 80 cents on the dollar to a man, and if you're a Latina woman, it's probably 55 cents on the dollar to a man. We're also going to be raising the minimum wage to $15 by 2024. That'll lift the floor for wages, which should help everyone's wages go up. But we also need to do more that's going to be, maybe difficult with the Republican Senate and President around collective bargaining rights and allowing people to have a voice in their workplace so they can negotiate better. A lot of the provisions that President Obama did at the end of his administration to fix labor law that President Trump overturned the executive orders, we need to put back in place to protect workers, too many workers. Tom, it's estimated 70 million people are categorized as independent contractors, largely miscategorized, and that often means you don't have any benefits, retirement, et cetera. So there's a whole lot that we are trying to work on. Some we're going to be able to do the next few weeks, some that we're going to need a few more changes, like maybe a change in the White House and the Senate. But everything we do has that lens as we're moving forward.
Greg in Schaumburg, Illinois, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good day, gentlemen. Thank you both for your public service.
Thank you, Greg.
My question for the congressman is regarding immigration, and I know it's a heated topic. I think the wall is foolish, but why not consider an incentive for those coming into this country from the southern border to come in through ports of entry, and then after a brief check, give them a social security number? That, in my mind, works for two things. A, they are starting to pay taxes. B, you could actually track where they are, so if you find out that they are criminals or misrepresented their application when they first came in, you know where they're at.
Yeah, Greg, I think I'd even take it if I could a step farther to 30,000-foot level, which is we just need to go back to when my first session, four sessions ago, where we passed a bipartisan bill with almost 70 votes out of the Senate that was comprehensive immigration reform, period. We have, depending on the count, 11 to 13 million people who are undocumented who are here. We don't necessarily have a problem at the border with people coming in right now. In fact, we have a net migration still. But we do have to address the real situation for so many people who are already here as well as make sure we have the proper standards set up for people coming into the country. Right now, the whole system is not working the way it's supposed to, and the answer is not simply a wall. The answer is how do you deal with it comprehensively, and I think that's what's the long overdue conversation for Congress.
Jay in Salida, Colorado, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, hi there, guys. I was curious as to whether Congress was investigating whether or not Justice Kennedy may have sold his seat on the Supreme Court.
And whether it might have involved his son working at Deutsche Bank on the Donald Trump contracts, Congressman?
Yeah, Jay, I don't know offhand, to tell you the truth. I serve on the Appropriations Committee, so more of our investigative work has been over some of the policy issues, like the separating children at the border and the conditions they're being held in, et cetera. That might be something Judiciary Oversight and Government Reform is doing. I just don't know that answer offhand. I know they're doing an awful lot right now. They're collecting documents, so they know what to really start some of the work on. It may be happening, but I don't have the answer to that.
Marta in Big Bear Lake, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, hi. A recent Gallup poll showed that health care and the economy were the top two issues. Russia and climate change were at the bottom. So my question is, can we reframe, instead of talking about climate change as just, you know, a problem, can we reframe that as the health care, Medicare for all, and a Green New Deal with millions and millions of high-paying jobs, 21st century economic opportunities. So that shows healthcare and the economy, which are the two main issues, as opportunities, creating opportunities.
Yeah, you know, I think, Marta, that is happening, especially on the New Green Deal. You know, the New Green Deal is a resolution, right? And it's still an evolving document. What it's really saying is we need to have a serious way to address climate change. And if you do that, you're going to create all sorts of new jobs right here in the United States. I mean, so much of our money and energy leaves the country or goes to only certain parts of the country, where in reality, if you have wind and solar and biomass and other renewables, you're not going to be involved in wars in other countries, and that's going to help our bottom line. But also, creating windmill blades or solar cells are jobs right here. Someone has to do the installation. Someone has to make them. And that is a major component of what we talk about when we talk about the New Green Deal. It's about the jobs attached to climate change. I think the real challenge has just been a lot of people describe their own version of what the New Green Deal is. And to be fair, it really is just saying we need to really have a real call to arms to address climate change. But it does include those very economic aspects you're talking about.
Michael in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We just have a minute to the end of the hour, Michael. A real quick question for Congressman Pocan, please.
Okay, quickly. Each time I hear you and even Bernie talk about raising the cap on Social Security, you leave a gap between $125,000 and $250,000. Is that so Congress doesn't raise their own taxes, they won't be subject to it? And if you require a gap, how about between, say, 50 and 100, so that working stiffs like myself don't have to pay?
Yeah, you'd never lower it. You wouldn't have any money for Social Security. That doesn't make any sense. I think the actual number people are talking is more like 400-something thousand. But I honestly have always said lift the gap completely. I don't think you need to have a cap at 400,000. I would say lift it completely and you add 75 years to Social Security. But for those people who do talk about it, I think it's around 400,000. I think that's an old conversation from a couple of years ago where people had a couple hundred thousand,
Yeah. But
it hasn't kept up with inflation.
Yeah, I think that came out of the new Dem caucus or something like that.
Yeah.
So, Congressman, in the last 15 seconds, what do you expect to see in the next week?
We'll be back in session next week, and I think we're taking up paycheck fairness, I believe, next week. But we're back to those economic core issues that people talk about at the kitchen table. Just help us get those messages out rather than getting lost on whatever Donald Trump wants us to get lost on.
Amen. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us today.
Of course. Thank you, Tom.
Congressman Mark Pocan, his website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And just a heads up, the third hour of the program, we're going to be talking to the author of Kushner, Inc. about the true story of Jovanka. It's going to get interesting. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.